presence of the Lord is thick and rich, full. Oh, we could pull out of the parking lot right now and say we've been with the Lord. But the Lord has something to say to us. In my series, the Lord, you know, I have been seeking the Lord. This whole week was prayer week, and thank you for coming and spending time with the Lord. But David here is in our text, is the whole series text, and we'll talk some more things before we leave this morning. But life, David finds himself in a place in life where he's almost overwhelmed. Life takes him over. Fear grips his heart. All of us have been there. And yet, in the midst of that darkness and danger around him, he says this: whom shall I fear? Who shall I be afraid of? So he focuses not on his need, what can you do for me, God, but who it is that I should be talking to. And in prayer this week, the Lord moved on my heart to just kind of bring this thought to you. I just want to talk to you about prayer, because it's this thought. I don't think there's a person under the sound of my voice this morning who doesn't want to know the Lord. Am I right? There's not anybody here that doesn't want to get closer to God, who doesn't value prayer time and spending time with God. Am I right? So if that being said, and if that is true, then what's the problem? And the Lord is speaking to my heart this week and saying the problem is not their desire. This one thing we all desire, and that is to spend time with the Lord, Max. And I see you moved on me. You're trying to confuse me, aren't you? You know, Max is coming over here, and I'm usually talking to him over here, so it's you're tricky. So the Lord, I said, Lord, if our people really want to know you and they really want to speak to you and they value the importance of prayer, then what's the problem? And the Lord says, it's not the what, it's the who. Who are you talking to? I mean, everybody's talking to somebody. So I just bid the question this morning. We all want to pray. And we're all talking and we're all spending time. The problem is where and who. Who are we talking to? Because we are all very vocal and very busy. This psalm focuses on the who. It gives us words to pray when we feel fear coming on. We all have different fears. Maybe you're not happy. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're unfulfilled. Maybe you're empty or dysfunction or some kind of external or internal problem. We all have them. Turn to your neighbor and say, we all have them. We all have problems, inside, outside, upside, and down. But our text gives us the who. Who are you talking to? That's the question David, like all of us, has to focus on the who of our conversations. Who am I supposed to be afraid of? What shall I be afraid of? I know the living God. Is anybody glad you know the living God? The grace of God has touched your heart. And so David, like all of us, focuses, and we all talk to somebody. We all spend time with somebody. And I want us to take a look at David's advice here just real quickly. He declares the Lord is three things against his situation. Number one, he is our light. The Lord is our light. And that means in a dark place, he lights it up. How many know the Lord wants to light up your situation? In other words, through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God, right? In illumination, he wants to light the situation up. Sometimes we get so engrossed in the darkness that we can't see the light. And the Lord said, I am your light. Don't let the things that are happening to you crowd out the light of Jesus. How many know that Satan comes to steal your time with God, to rob you of the light, the experience and blessing and intimacy with the Lord? But through the Holy Spirit, the darkness is dispelled. How many know light still overcomes darkness every time? So call on the Lord. Who are you talking to? Secondly, he said he's not only our light, he is our salvation. So not only does the Lord turn the lights on, how many need the Lord to turn the light on? In a bad place, in a dark place, you need the light. You can't see where you're going. It's foggy. You know, anybody ever stub your toe in the night? None of you. Okay. Well, I'm telling you, I have, and it's no fun. How many know you need to turn your praises on when you stub your toe? Y'all are laughing, but I'm going to tell you something's going to be turned on. It's going to be praise or it's going to be problematic, but something's coming out of your mouth. Something's coming out of your mouth. You're talking to somebody, and I guarantee it's probably not the Lord. Not in darkness. But when he turns on the light, how many know you begin to realize that the Lord is ready to deliver you out of the situation? You're talking to God. Who are you talking to? And thirdly, simply, he said he's our stronghold. He's our stronghold. That with God, you can regain your position. Hey, it's easy for all of us, you know, in this time of the year, we're trying to refocus. We're trying to get back into priority. It's the beginning of the year. It's 2019, the year of prayer, the year of intimacy with the Lord. And how many know you got to regain that position? Satan comes in, he tries to steal your time with God and steal your influence with the Lord. And in the Lord, you can win again. How many want to win again with the Lord? Get into that right position again. And maybe you turn to the wrong people. And in Jesus, you're made more than conquerors. Amen? You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. You can climb higher with him. You have a new perspective. You can take advantage over the enemy because you're with the Lord. It's more than just talking. Prayer is more than dialogue with God. It's way more than that. In fact, you can give it to the Lord and not even open your mouth and know he's still there. In the presence of the Lord, it can be so thick. Has anybody ever been in the presence of the Lord when nobody uttered a word? Where there's a holy hush that comes over the congregation. Kind of like a few minutes ago when the anointing of God was moving and we just standing in the presence of the Lord or sitting in the presence of the Lord thinking, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. So it's more than conversation. Prayer is conversation. But we need to know that there's a better perspective when the Lord is our stronghold. He is our defense. A sense of security comes from the Lord, and you can take the victory over your enemies because the Lord is our light and our salvation and our stronghold, a fortress, a mighty refuge that we can run in and hide. So David talks to God. Who are you talking to? Is the point of this whole series. And last week was just an introductory. But I want you to understand, David says, this one thing I desire. Now, in prayer this week, you know, I told you that the Lord is letting me know that you think prayer is important. And I just need a show of hands. How many say, Pastor, you're right. I think prayer is important. Let me see your hand. So if that's true, then why are so many people struggling in the area of spending time with God? Why? And that's the pressing question the Lord put on my heart. I know your heart. You know my heart. We all want to spend time with God, but our culture, used by the enemy, is ripping us off, taking what belongs to God, which is our time. Amen? And so we want to pray. We know it's important. Otherwise, the enemy wouldn't even try to stop you. Can I tell you one sure thing? That the enemy wants to steal your time with the Lord, which tells me it's pretty important. Because the things that are not important, Satan doesn't waste his time on. Prayer and Bible reading is very important, which is why he's stealing it. To take your intimacy, take your joy, your faith, your hope, your love. These three, faith, hope, and love. So if you could see that, if you could just see that, that we all have faith in God. So what we're losing then, when we don't spend time with God, is we're losing our hope. Darkness and situations come in and we lose our hope. And then we don't feel like God is answering us. We don't feel like God is hearing us. We don't feel worthy to even talk to God or get in the same space with God. But how many know God loves us unconditionally? You say, Pastor, does God answer prayers of sinners? I tell you one he'll answer real quick, and that's a prayer of repentance. So, hey, I'm not here to bring guilt. I don't think guilt is the issue here. I think if we're lacking anything, it's lacking focus and wisdom and taking back the time Satan is trying to steal from us. That's what the Lord is showing me in my prayer time. And so I really want to focus in this morning because we seem to have time to talk to everyone else. So the question came, who are you talking to? Because we're all spending time somewhere. Did you know that you choose who you spend time with? Did you know that you're getting the same amount of time as everybody else? And the Lord allots 24 hours of time. Did you know that your time is appointed by the Lord? How many know God, sovereign God, is control of all time? He's a sovereign over time, okay? He is the sovereign over all time. And God's timing and our time are two different timings. So when the Bible talks about time, we don't have time to go into a biblical view of time in our space here. In fact, many times when I'm preaching, I feel like a mummy pressed for time. You'll get that some other day, but it's all right. In prayer, I believe we're talking to somebody. It's God. David said, I'm talking to God. We seem to have time for other stuff. But in verses 2 and 3, David talks to God. In turn, faith comes in his heart. And he says, even when my army attacks me, even then I will have confidence instead of fear. It matters who you talk to. It matters what environment you are in. You know, I asked the Lord, what are you doing? What do you want us to do? I mean, the first day on the job here, if you call it a job. How many know this is a calling? To be a pastor is a calling, not a job. So what are you calling us to do at Oak Grove? What do you want us to do? And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, create an environment conducive for people to spend time with me. Open up an altar for people to find forgiveness. Anybody glad we can find grace in the presence of the Lord? Is anybody glad we can find help in a time of trouble in the presence of the Lord? And salvation, right? That the Lord can open us up to Him and we can spend time. But it takes time to spend time. And time is a precious commodity. I think we have a wrong view of time. And that's what prayer can do. It reminds you that you belong to God, whose you are, and to whom you belong. David says, this one thing I desire. Evidently, David wrote Psalm 27 when he was far away from the sanctuary. That's a beautiful song, Chrissy. How many know the Lord is in his sanctuary? I said, the Lord is here. And I love the other song, Make Me a House of Prayer. Make me a house of prayer. Did you know... Know you not that your body is a temple of the living God? Do you know you are the sanctuary of God where He dwells? So that song is saying, make me a sanctuary. Make me a house of prayer so that you can come in and I can spend time with you and I can be with you. And so David's far off. He's in a cave somewhere in Judea and fear is gripping his heart, but he had to get a vision of the presence of the Lord. He had to create a place, a space out there where his faith could be renewed or restored, where hope can come back. Because Satan's always trying to steal our hope and our love. And ultimately, you know, the greatest of these is love, Paul said, because ultimately, when we don't think God loves us, we throw in our faith. You're not going to have faith in somebody you don't love. I don't think y'all are hearing me. You're not going to put your trust and faith and confidence in somebody you don't love or whom you don't think loves you. So it's a real relationship going on here. And when Satan steals our time with God, He steals our intimacy with God, our verbiage with God. And instead of having light and salvation and stronghold, we run in caves and hide in darkness. And so many are not losing faith, they're losing hope. And it's there in that place of prayer where he expresses his one desire, this one thing. I want to be safe in the presence of the Lord, where I can gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. What's that one thing you desire when you're in a storm? Who are you talking to is the question this morning. When things get kind of crazy, where do you go? Where do you go? I remember the old song. It's a spiritual song of the church. Where should I go? Amen. But to the Lord. We all are going to be responding somehow. When the doctor, you listen, we're quick to go to the doctor. And I thank God for doctors. I'm thankful we have nurses and doctors and medical staff. Is anybody praise God for doctors? But do you go right to them? Hey, is that the first place you go? I mean, when you have a decision to make, do you go first to a human or do you go to the divine God? Hey, listen, I'm all for mentors and pastors and counselors and helpers and doctors and even a little medicine can help. Take a spoonful of sugar. But I'm just telling you, there's no place better than the presence of the Lord. To inquire the Lord in his presence. There's nothing can compare. And so we're not saying choose one over the other. I'm saying all of the above, but first in priority ought to be prayer. It shouldn't be a last resort. It should be a first requirement. Run to the Lord. And I get it. I get it. I want to deal with this time factor because I believe we all want this one thing. Amen? To be in the presence of the Lord. But many say, I don't have time. It's a time factor. So that's what I want to deal with for the rest of my time. We got 15 minutes to glorify God and raise the dead. So, I know we're busy. I know we're busy. But when it comes to time, we all are equal. God allots 24 hours a day. Our culture has worked hard with the enemy's help to consume all of it. Some people even accuse God of shortchanging them on time, but he hasn't. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. You are allotted so many years and so much time. So you know, you spend your time. He doesn't spend your time. You spend your time. That's the responsibility we have. So have you ever said something like, I just don't have time? Anybody? Where did the time go? You ever say that? Pressed for time. Hurry. We use time terms like urgent, priority, pressed, right? And there was a day when the telegraph was an awesome thing. I mean, you got a telegraph and whew, how fast was that, the telegraph? We couldn't believe that we could communicate, Max, that fast, a telegraph. And Morse code. And so today we have the smartphone. I'm not so sure how smart it is. We have fax and email and internet, priority mail, overnight it. For the proper amount of money, we can get you speedy. Increase your internet access and your Wi-Fi and whatever it all is. I don't even know the terminology. We should have more time, but the opposite is the case. Isn't that ironic? More technology, more advancement, less time. Less time. So everything's supposed to be, you know, faster and faster and faster. I'm going to send this 30-page document, and it's going to take 10 seconds, and we're mad. Should have took 1 second. So we increase our speed and RAMs and all that. Is Justin here? Yeah, we need RAM speed. I don't know if he's here or not, but okay, not here. Well, every time we buy a computer, you say, you need more RAM, you need more memory, you need more speed. Speed it up. I was like, my goodness, I think it's going fast enough. I can't even catch up. So we should be more. Smarter, but we're smarter, but we have less time. Run. We're out of breath. Go. What's the problem with man? Those of us here in America, and more specific, we tend to live for the moment rather than for eternity. God's got plenty of time. Now, if you're coming to find Jesus, how many know you're running out of time? When it comes to finding Jesus and you don't know when he's coming back, how many know your time is short? But if you know Jesus, hang in there. Either you're going to go in the rapture or the rapture is going to come and you're going to go. Either way, you're going. Now or in eternity. But the fact is, you're not going to die. You're not going to be ending. How many know you're just beginning? Eternity begins when, right now. So we have a Western view of time. English time, the clock runs. But in Spanish time, the clock walks. I wish y'all could help me out here. How many's ever been to a Latin American country? Anybody? Oh, man, we eat lunch, and then after lunch, whew, unbuckle and take a hammock. Anybody here still take naps? A couple of you. I'll take a nap when I retire, Pastor. No naps even at retirement. See that? That's American clock. So this doesn't mean we become irresponsible and nap all day long. But how many know our view of time is that we must hurry because time is running short and we are important and we need to get it all done. Performance driven. Who comes to my mind is Mary and Martha. Busy. And Martha found time to be with the Lord, and the Lord said, hey, she's chosen a good thing. So we can't turn time into our enemy. But we look at our culture. Socially, we are a wreck. Responsible for our relationships, but they suffer because we say we don't have time. Now, we associate rather than interrelate. Now we just talk on Facebook or email. We could be in the same office and email each other. How many know that's ridiculous? We don't even want to spend the time. Just I'm going to take a second here. And you know, I heard a conversation in the hospital yesterday down the hall, and the lady said, hey, you got a minute? She was almost apologetic. You got a minute? This is a nurse probably talking to somebody else in personnel. You got a minute? Can I squeeze in a second? Somebody's dying. Time. And so We hold back opening up rather than pausing to listen and linger. How many things it affects the church as well? Rather than pausing and lingering and listening to the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, we got to get in, we got to preach, we got to do our worship, we got to take up the offering, we got to get you out of here so you can go home and take a nap. It's rushed. Man, we're developing, listen, close friendships are dropping off and even our marriages are suffering and churches rushing people in and out. And the truth is that developing vital relationships takes time. And how many thinks the most vital relationship is with the Lord? And so it takes time to spend time with the Lord. I miss some time. I'd be honest today with Pastor. Be honest today with me. How many ever miss your time with the Lord? How many times do we miss time? And Larnell Harris, he was a singer when I first got saved, and he sang a song called "I Miss My Time With You." And I'm not going to sing it right now to you because you wish I would, but I'm not giving you that privilege. But the words go, "I miss my time with you, those moments together. I want to be with you each day, and it hurts me." This is coming from God's perspective. This is a song coming from God's perspective. "And it hurts me when you say, you're too busy. Too busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me when your spirit's not willing? There's a longing in my heart just to be a part." Right? "I miss my time with you." If you can hear the Lord singing over you today, wouldn't it be the same? He's singing it over me. Hey, Ron, I miss my time with you. He wants it. When David, listen, prayer becomes real when you're in a dark cave. When things are going well, you know, prayer's not a priority. Most people in the church of the 21st century, we think when we get a need, we'll call on God and he'll be there. And that is true. But it doesn't breed intimacy. We all believe in marriage, but we don't believe in we all believe it's important to spend time, but we don't do it. And so I know it's quiet in here, but I'm trying to tell you is we have in too many meetings. We're calling. God is helping us to slow down, but we're on the go, 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 do, do, do. We think we're not successful unless we're busy. We're busy. And the result is a shrinking of our time with God, and we're still talking. The question is, who are you talking to? In one day, you can go to meeting after meeting after meeting, and this week I had three meetings, and we spent at least an hour or two in each one of those meetings, and that's about, you know, hey, that's 6 hours talking or listening to somebody, and they're all urgent, and they're all great, and they're all good meetings, right? But how many meetings have you had this week with the Lord? Intentional meetings. This is not a guilt trip. This is something for us to hone in on and really focus. And I have a paper here. I want you to get it. It's The Power of a Focused Life. I want you to get it before you leave. It helps you set some vision and some goals to be achieved as you go through your week this week. So you can say, hey, maybe I never stopped to evaluate how much time I'm spending and where I'm spending it at. And I dealt with that. I remember I was at kids camp in Louisiana. I was at a kids camp because I believe in spending time with the next generation. Say amen. It's a good thing, Pastor. You spend time with that next generation. And I was in the middle of the campground. The kids running around, 600 kids running around. And I thought to myself, how many of you ever have a pity party with God? None of you? Well, he and I have them often. Most of my time with God is him and I, you know, working things out for me. Because God doesn't have a problem, right? He's always helping me. And I said, Lord, I just don't understand how I'm supposed to meet all the demands of my time. Anybody ever asked the Lord that? And so I want to be a godly man. First of all, say amen. That's your priority. I want to be a godly man. I want to be a godly husband. I want to be a godly father. I want to be a godly pastor. I want to be a representation to the kingdom and to the community. All those things are good, right? And I said, I just don't know how I'm going to fit it all in 24 hours a day. And the Lord said, you love the one you're with. And the Lord showed me how to create a rhythm of time. Because the allocated time we have, you know, the chronos time, chronological time, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, 6, 7, 8. So what I was doing when I was compartmentalizing, Max, I was compartmentalizing my time. So when I wake up in the morning, if I don't catch my time with God, how many know it's easy to miss it? Say amen. Easy to miss it. If you don't do it first thing in the morning, David said, early will I rise and seek thee. It was a priority for him. He made it early. Jesus got up early before it was even daylight, and he spent time with his Father, right? It's a good rule of thumb if you're an early riser. If you're not an early riser, how many know your time with God can be really sleepy? Hello, Lord. I love you, Lord. I mean, no, that's not the time he wants. It'd be ridiculous for you to get up at 4 in the morning if you're not talking to God. Be better to find another time and another place that's free from distraction. But I asked the Lord, and the Lord gave me this rhythm. How many ever heard of praying without ceasing? Well, that's serious. And you can find a way to spend time, allocated amounts of time with God throughout the day, right? So I compartmentalized. I said, when I get to work, 9 to 5, I belong to Oak Grove. I'm going to be the best pastor I can with my time at Oak Grove. And then when the girls were in school, at 3 o'clock, maybe I can leave and go get the girls. I'm going to spend about an hour or two with the girls. I'll be a good daddy. And then after that, see, maybe take Melissa to dinner and be a good husband. And then go to sleep, start it all over again. And the Lord says, that's not working for you. I mean, you can't compartmentalize that. You got to get a rhythm. You got to get in the spirit with the Lord. And obviously we don't have, like, you know, Moses, what did he do? Sit around and write the Bible all day? He didn't have a job, did he? Or did he? Did Jesus have nothing to do? Are y'all with me today? So our culture is different than many other cultures, but it's stealing our time. We need time to think. We need time to grasp truth. In the rat race we live, we're failing to grasp who we are, why we are here, and what we're called to do. We're failing to meet with God intentionally. And so, like the bus driver who said, I have good news and bad news. I thought this was cute. He said, the bad news is I took the wrong turn and we're going down the wrong road. And the good news is, though, we're making great time. So we're enamored with speed, even though we don't like where it's taking us. Do you see our culture and the view of our time? You know, I'm speaking truth. If it takes more than 1 second, we're already impatient. Hurry sickness. So let me give you some practical help. I found in Mark 6 where the disciples returned from a busy trip of ministry. This is ministry. You remember John Bevere's good or God? Good or God? There's some good things that can still rob you from God things. And God has a plan and a will for his. He wants you more than he wants your busyness. But they were busy and they gathered around Jesus to tell him all they did. They were preoccupied with their performance. But Jesus, like he told Mary, was not concerned so much with Martha's performance in the kitchen, but Mary's presence in the sanctuary. And so, this is what they did. Verse 31, Jesus said, they told him everything. The text reads, literally, they told him everything they did. Everything they did. All right? And it was all good. But verse 31, that was verse 30. Verse 31, Jesus says this, come with me privately to an isolated place and rest a while. Look at this. For many were coming and going, and there was no time to eat. Can I ask you, be real with me. How many of you gone through the day and didn't have time to stop and eat? That's how it is. And I think partially we all want to eat. I love to eat. Hey, I have proof. I love to eat. I love to cook. Cooking has become a hobby. I cooked all through the holidays. I cook. I love to cook because I love to eat. And so Martha got so busy cooking. Preparing. It's a lot. I mean, it takes time to cook. Now, last night I made a stew. Y'all don't want to hear this, do you? I'm going to tell you anyway. You want the recipe? I need a better one first. Because my stew turned into a soup. Because I don't know how to make a roux just yet. But hang in there. I've gone somewhere. You got any time? Okay, thank you. I needed it. You can't make a really good meal in a hurry. It takes time. I said it takes time. And I don't hardly ever cook beef, but I made beef stew last night. And my biggest concern was that it would be tough because you can't take meat out of the freezer, defrost it, stick it in a pot, and 10 minutes later eat some good, tender meat. How many know it doesn't happen? So in our culture, what do? Buy a pressure pot. Instapot. Look at that. Biggest seller this Christmas, Instapot. I can't even wait till it gets tender. I'm going to shock. Here you go. I've been doing this all day. No, it took me 10 minutes. I just, and the meat is probably shrunk like. Too busy. There's no time to eat. It is our responsibility to manage time. So what can we learn? Well, four things, and I'm going to let you go. Number one, easy. Easy peasy right here. People stay busy as a cover-up, because of their egos. Stay busy because of their egos. They want to appear important. In our culture, a crowded schedule shows you're a very important, successful person. And we gauge people by activity and performance. So we overload our schedule. We're performance-driven. Mary and Martha, you get it. Mary chose the right way. Our egos. Number two, people stay busy as a cover-up for laziness. Lazy. Running around can avoid more important tasks. Choose the wise thing. Prioritize. Get into the rhythm. I'm not sure what works for you. Everybody's different when it comes to spending time with God. You have to find your place. You have to find your priority. You have to find your pace. But you definitely want to find the person. Because going through the activity of worship and prayer and having no relationship with God is going to be a major, major disappointment. Thirdly, people stay busy because of greed. Y'all can help me. Don't stop. I'm preaching. Greedy. If I don't get busy and do more, material wants, Matthew 6 says, don't have an upside down priority. People are never satisfied. So more. So they work day and night. You know, as you were singing, day and night. This one thing I want to do, David said, day and night. Till I die, I want to be in the presence of the Lord. But we're saying is, I need more money. Because there's crowding, more pressures. I need more money because I want more stuff. Anybody have any wants? Let me see your hand if you have any wants. Come on, I mean, just be real. I had some stuff I want. I want a motorcycle. I'm probably not getting it. Two reasons. My wife won't let me. She wants to keep me around longer. I don't know why. And number two, don't you think Pastor would go crazy on a motorcycle? I'm just saying. with a helmet on. I could just see it. It's probably not good, so I agree with her. No. Everybody wants stuff. And if you want more, you're going to have to work to meet the need. And so it's a constant chasing your tail. Material things, never satisfied. Greed for money, power, praise, results, prestige, position, all of that. And finally, people stay busy because they are more concerned about pleasing men than pleasing God. And you remember Acts chapter 6, when they confronted with meeting the needs of the widows, they felt responsible to meet them. How many know meeting the needs of the widows in the house of the Lord is very, very important? Come on, say amen. It's a good thing, Pastor. But the apostles said, yes, it's good, but we can't do it all. So we need to elect some help to help us distribute the workload so that we all have time for prayer and Bible study. What did they do? They prioritized to please God rather than trying to run around pleasing men. That's what happened. It's not right for us, it says, to neglect the word and wait on tables. Carefully select those who can help us. So that's what's going on. Learn to say no. Come on, let's practice. No. Are you coming back tonight? I tried to trick you. Yeah. Are you going to spend time with God tomorrow morning? Yes. So saying no means saying no to things that are less important, saying yes to the things that are more important. And I know that you know, and I sense it in my spirit, that you think spending time with God is valuable. Yes? So say yes to God and try to push away the clutter out of your life. Organize your time. Manage your time. Be a good steward of your time because your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. And so, As believers, we need goals and plans, short-term, long-term. Balance is the key. It includes rest, recreation, work, ministry, time for self, time for family, time to do. Does anybody believe you can do everything you need to do in a day? No. Some of you are shaking your head. No, not possible. Well, here's what came to me. The President of the United States has 24 hours in a day, just like me. How many thinks the President has a few things on the agenda? I mean, if he starts building this wall, how many know it's going to take some time? So he gets up probably 3 a.m. I don't know his whole schedule, but he's probably up by 3 a.m. I don't know when he goes to sleep or if he sleeps. But 3 a.m. he's got to do his exercise or eat his breakfast or whatever. Then he has a press meeting at 5 a.m. with the press is already pressing him, right? And then after that, he's got to go into the chief of staff, meet with the chief of staff. He's got quite a schedule. He is the leader of the known world. But all that man gets is 24 hours a day. That's all he gets. So what does he have to do, Max? He has to prioritize his time. He's got to fit in time with his beautiful wife. He's got to fit in time to eat. He's got to fit. He has to do it. And the Lord said to me, Hey, Ronnie, you're not as big and bad as Mr. President. You're just a pastor of a little, And the bigger the ministry, how many know the less time you have? So you better find a rhythm, buddy. And I'm telling you, no matter how busy you are, it seems like we never have enough time to finish our task. And if you're task-driven, if you're performance-driven, you will never finish because you will always create another task. How many of you spend time making a to-do list? You're taking time to write. I'm speechless. I want to ask you, I'm asking you, who are you talking to? Exactly, yeah. And Steve's listening. All right, Tamer, let's just take marriage itself, just marriage. Who are you talking to? There's a lot more talk going on the wife's side than there is on the husband's side, usually. Usually. I'm going to stop right there. My point is, Christy, please hurry up and bail me out. Or we're going to allow Satan to steal our time. That's the point. Or we're going to allow Satan to steal our time. John Ortberg, the author of The Life You've Always Wanted, says, consistent spiritual discipline becomes a rhythm for living in which we can grow more intimately connected to God. It's a rhythm in life. It's a rhythm. So 24 hours, this is how I did it. You do it any way you want to. This is how I tried. I haven't perfected or mastered time. But this is how I try. Max, 24 hours a day, I am Pastor Ron Moran. You call me anytime, day or night, I'm going to be there. I have and I will. Isn't that right? On my cell phone 24 hours a day. I want to meet the demands of this body. More importantly, though, 24 hours a day, I am God's man. Before I became your pastor, I was God's man. Before I became her husband, I was God's man. Before I became their father, I was God's man. So how many thinks I need to keep a priority on God's man? First calling. So 24 hours a day, I'm God's man. 24 hours a day, I am her husband. 24 hours a day. Not from 8 to 9 or 9 to midnight, whatever's left over in the day. That's what we do to God. We give him leftovers. And he still blesses us somehow, right? 24 hours a day, I'm her father and her father. And now I'm a grandfather to little Hudson. You know, I could just spend all day right there. I just, if I could have my... How many wish you could just do whatever you want? They say retirement is that, but I don't know. I'm not sure. 24 hours a day, I'm pastor of Oak Grove. 24 hours a day, I'm a witness to this community.